In the name of the living God, giver, forgiver, and lover. Amen. At the risk of unfair advertising, I was in my favourite coffee shop the other day. I'm afraid it's not Carol's favourite. Le Pâtissier, just over there. Where is it? Yes, just over there, behind this college. One of the staff was, as they do, asking me about God. Her problem with the churches that she'd had experience of was that they seemed to be trying, as she put it, to pinpoint God, trying to tie God down, to get God fixed. So happens that last Wednesday, I was with fellow deans and chaplains and being addressed by a former Benedictine abbot and headmaster, now vice principal of the Theological College in Cambridge, Westcott House. And he was making a similar point as he suddenly remembered Trinity Sunday was coming. God is a mystery to be adored, not a problem to be solved. This reality, with a capital R, is not to be reduced to a tribal God, only interested in certain human beings who perform particular rituals and formulate particular doctrines. This reality we name God may be glimpsed now in the lives of you and me, millions and millions of ordinary human beings throughout the world, especially when we care for one another, irrespective of our own personal safety and security. And we've been remembering many examples of that recently, whether in relation to the Manchester Arena or Grenfell Tower or so many other places in our world. It's no wonder that in our gospel reading for today, Nicodemus glimpsed this reality, and more than that, saw the very author of reality in front of him as he approached Jesus by night. He came under cover of darkness, for Nicodemus was fraternizing with the enemy, with someone who was dangerous and subversive. Nicodemus is intuitively drawn to the truth as the Spirit moved within him, and as it may move in you and in me. Nicodemus recognized the presence of God in this teacher to whom he came by night. It's the presence of God that we can each encounter in our daily living. So in a sense, there has to be a kind of pinpointing, whether in this chapel or in our encounters with people. For here, in this place, we are definitively focused on the person of Jesus Christ. But what we must never forget or underplay is our own ignorance, our not knowing, our unknowing. Hence the photograph on the service sheet this morning. But there is a prayer that we use every day in this chapel, which we should ponder on briefly for a moment. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. We might use the word communion as a better translation than fellowship. I'm afraid fellowship to me means gossip, tea, and people not really getting together at all. A sort of false kind of fellowship that Christians often use. And it gives us a bad name, I think, sometimes. Grace. Grace is a word that's never used of God in the Old Testament. Grace is a New Testament word. For as the theologian and teacher Bill Vanston long ago pointed out, Jesus makes goodness attractive. God's loving kindness is made not only visible, but desirable. It's the difference between being killed by kindness and being sensitively supported by another person's kindness. Grace always draws us to what is good and beautiful and true, even though sometimes we cannot bear it and we destroy it. So, Jesus himself demonstrates the love of God to be both attractive and trustworthy, but also costly and infinitely vulnerable. When I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. The communion of the Holy Spirit may also be translated as sharing in. Now, weddings have been much in the news recently, and a particular preacher. The power of love, the power of love, as he reminded us, is indeed the strongest force in the world. But what we need to remember alongside that is that this love is always costly and usually painful. Our human loving is extremely fragile. I was reminded of an encounter that I once had in Wiltshire at a wedding. I was sitting opposite a very striking woman in her mid-30s. And other people around her listened with me to her story. She'd once been married, but was now divorced. She'd been born with one leg considerably longer than the other. She'd had multiple operations, bits of metal in her body. And she always felt most comfortable when she was lying down rather than sitting as she was there at a table. I couldn't really imagine the frustration and also the sadness in her life. And that's one of the great things about a wedding. It's not just about the service. The bringing together of people round a table or tables afterwards is equally precious and important, because these are the places we can encounter the reality of God. As she went on with her story, she was now living at home with her parents, who tried to support her, making her as independent as possible, but also doing what they could to encourage and sustain her. But sharing in her pain and listening to her story was a very moving but ordinary privilege that we have as human beings. The preacher in Oxford, Austin Farrer, pointed this out to us. In those moments of human faces turned towards one another, we may catch a glimpse of the countenance of God. Our hearts and minds, not the outward bodily frame, are the likeness of God. And mentality, the interchange of person to person, is always a social, not a solitary thing. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O God, our mystery, you bring us to life, call us to freedom, and move between us with love. May we so participate in the dance of your Trinity that our lives may resonate with you, now and forever.